Will you read with me? I've got it up here. I know it's kind of hard to see because I wanted my sheep in the background, but read it with me, will you? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? You probably are very familiar with that psalm, Psalm 23, that I.O. read earlier and that we just went over again together. And today I want to spend some time looking at Psalm 23 because it is very applicable to the metaphor that Jesus gives us of the sheep and the shepherd for the church in John chapter 10. And as we do so, I want to draw your attention to Psalm 23 because maybe more so for the church in Psalm 23 than John 10. John 10 talks about the role of the shepherd, that no one will snatch him out of the shepherd's hand, that he is the door and that he controls what goes into the sheepfold. But today I want to talk about it from the perspective of being the sheep. I remember the first woodworking project, big woodworking project that I did. Our music pastor out in Southern California, Steve Shilger, was an accomplished woodworker. And I was telling him how much I envied the fact that he could do that stuff. And he said, well, I'd be glad to teach you. And so I said, okay, what do we have to do? And we went out and we bought a bunch of wood, a lot more than I could afford at that time. And we came back and we were going to build for both of our wives kitchen islands. Now, the one that I ended up building was, just a little smaller than this stage. And it was huge. I mean, it was just monstrous. And Steve, we took everything over to his garage where he had all the tools and everything. And what would happen would be, Steve would say, okay, now, measure out this. And I'd take my tape measure and I'd measure and I'd do exactly what he did. And he'd say, okay, cut this miter cut. And I'd cut it. And he'd say, cut this angle. And I'd cut it. And he would cut his and he'd set his saw and everything would be perfect. And then I'd just run my wood through right behind his so that every cut was absolutely perfect. And I built my first kitchen or my first project in the form of a kitchen island unit for my wife and I in our house. Big Formica top and everything, and had doors and the whole Sheboygan. I mean, it was there. And I learned a lot, but the way I learned wasn't by reading the book and doing it the way that the book said to do it. The way I learned was by watching Steve. And I would listen to what he said. And I would understand what he said because I asked questions. And I would imitate what he did. And I would do what he did right after him so that it drilled it into my mind. And from that humble beginning, I learned to do the wood type working, cabinet building and things like that, that I so love as just a getaway opportunity. Well, that's what we're talking about this morning. You see, what Steve did was in the form of woodworking, he discipled me. And we're talking about metaphors of the church. And I see in the metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd that whole issue of discipleship. How the shepherd comes along and how he cares for the sheep. But the goal is that the sheep would grow to become under-shepherds under him themselves. We're not to stay sheep all the time. Now, you've heard many people probably say that sheep are the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. I'm not sure that's true. I probably have met one or two humans that would beat that. But for the most part, they are dumb. They're very dumb. But I really don't think that that's the issue that David and that John were trying to get out when they talk about the sheep and the shepherd. Because there's another attribute of being a sheep that is very, very important and that we oftentimes miss, and that is sheep are the most loyal animals on the face of the earth. Now, people talk about the loyalty of dogs, and they talk about how dog is man's best friend, but if you'll remember when we talked in John 10 about the sheep and the shepherd, one of the things that you find out is that the shepherd can make his own special call, and the sheep will get out from among a whole pack of sheep, a whole sheepfold, and they'll walk out and they'll follow their shepherd just based on his individual sound that he makes. It may be a whistle, it may be a call, but whatever it is, they will follow him. And the end result is that they can be wherever they want to be, but the moment that they hear the shepherd's call, if they know the voice of that shepherd, they turn around from what they are doing and they follow that shepherd. Now that's loyalty. Try getting your dog to do that when you fed him a piece of steak. Ain't going to happen. He's going to stay there, he's going to eat that steak. Or if he's playing with a bunch of dogs that he really likes to play with, or if he's playing with someone that he really enjoys, and you call him, he's just going to look at you. That's the way a dog is. Sheep are loyal animals. They're the most loyal animal on the face of the earth. And I think that that is the issue that they want us to recognize in Psalm 23. How do you make a loyal sheep? How do you get a loyal sheep to follow you? You disciple them. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall lack nothing is what that word means, what that phrase means. He is my shepherd, and I will lack for nothing. It's imperative to recognize the role of the shepherd. Once a sheep understands the shepherd's role, it doesn't deal with worry again. The sheep is now utterly dependent on the shepherd. He is his safety shield. He's his sustenance. He's his comfort in troubling times. All that he is brings assurance to the sheep because he knows his master's voice. Now, here's what I have to ask you this morning. Sheep, do you know your master's voice? Those of you who are going through difficulty and trouble, those of you who have worry in your life, those of you who are frustrated with issues in your life, those of you who wonder about the future, can you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack for nothing? I don't know about you, but I can't always do that. Is your life characterized by a total assurance that everything you need for safety, sustenance, and comfort is wrapped up in Jesus? If it isn't, then God is calling you to get in that type of relationship with Him. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He brings rest and comfort to my soul, is what that's saying. He restores my soul. Now, in Israel, up in the Galilee area, there are these sweeping fields of beautiful alfalfa and virtually no sheep. The sheep are all raised down in the Judean wilderness, what is known as the Judean desert. For the most part, mostly sheep are raised down there. Now, they've kind of moved them up into the northern parts of the country now, just out of desperation. But what a sheep considers to be a beautiful patch of grass is about this big, a brownish-green pasture. When the shepherd brings you to the edge of the grass, he's bringing you there and he's saying, this is what you need for the day. This is all you need today. We'll worry about tomorrow. When we were driving down the old Roman road, the one that Jesus was talking about when he said that the Good Samaritan found the man on the side of the road, there is a sheer cliff probably 800 to 1,000 feet deep that is beside that road. It really freaks all the people out when you drive them down that road in a bus, you know, and the road is just a little bit narrower than the bus. And over the side, you've got this huge cliff. But on the edge of every cliff and every hill in Judea, one of the things you see are little horizontal lines. And when you get up close to them, you realize that those lines are little ledges about that wide, about 6 to 8 inches wide. It is on those ledges that the shepherd will take his sheep and he will have them walk on those ledges in order to find their grass at times. He makes me to lie down in green pastures means he's found them a flat place where they can rest. But most of the time, he's walking them on narrow ledges because that's the best place to find the food. Feel like you walk on narrow ledges with Jesus once in a while? Feel like sometimes it seems like he's taking you on a sheer cliff and one misstep and you fall into the abyss of doom? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He brings me to a point of rest. He leads me beside the still waters. They have what is known as wadis there. Out in the southern part of the southwestern part of the United States, they have much the same type of a thing. They're dry riverbeds is what they are. And occasionally in these dry riverbeds, there will be pools of water that will fill up. They're about this deep, and they could be, you know, any size, but they will be a pool of water. But usually it's rotten water. It's been standing for a long time. It's dirty. It's got all kinds of things in it. And what can happen is one of two dangers. A sheep will come along and he'll drink that water and he could get sick from it. So the shepherd has to keep him away from the bad water. The other thing is that the sheep is standing right in the middle of a dry riverbed. Now, if you've ever been out in the southwestern part of the United States or in Israel during the rainy season, what you know is that it doesn't take long for a rain to come along and a flash flood to fill up that dry riverbed and sweep anything that is in its path away. And that happens to sheep that aren't shepherded. They see the water, they head for the water, they stand in the dry riverbed, and it may be the rainy season, and all of a sudden a rain comes, and a day before there had been rain, and the riverbed had dried out, filled up with water, and the sheep may be drinking even fresh water in the dry riverbed and still be in danger. So the shepherd takes them to places like En-Gedi and to places like the Sea of Galilee or the Jordan River. The shepherd takes them to streams of living water where the water stays pure and fresh because it's run over rocks and filtered by the moss and the rocks in the water in the riverbed. But he doesn't have to worry about it all of a sudden flowing over them so fast that they can't take it and they're washed away. Ever felt like you got teaching at times? And that teaching just seemed to be okay for the moment, but it just didn't sustain you? You ever felt like Jesus Christ was bringing you right to the edge of the water that you saw there because you see this open door and you go there and you start to drink the water and all of a sudden you realize that it's just not what is going to refresh? He makes me lie down in green pastures, in safe places. He leads me beside still waters, not waters that are going to rush me away in a torrent. And he restores my soul. He gives my soul rest. Do you rest in Jesus? I don't mean rest in Jesus for years or months. I mean, do you take time every day to sit down and to read the scriptures and to pray with him and to rest in him? That's what he wants, you see, because he wants to disciple you. Yes, I have people who disciple me, and I have people that I disciple. But I'm not the primary shepherd. Jesus is. Remember that. Because I will fail you, but that shepherd won't. And he wants to bring you beside still waters and make you lie down in comfortable green pastures so that he can restore your soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember those paths that I told you about on the side of a hill? One misstep and the sheep is down the hill. The shepherd has some hills he won't let the sheep go on because the way is too dangerous. He has some places that he won't let the sheep go in, some wadis that he doesn't want them to go in because he knows there's a chance that a rushing, raging torrent of water could come along. He has some places he won't let the sheep go to because he knows there may be wolves or other predators there. He won't let the sheep go where it's unsafe for them. And the next verse really talks about how he does that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Ever been in a situation where you had to go from one place to the next and in between seemed to be a very dangerous location? And you wish you had a police escort? When Jesus takes you through the times where there are predators, like Satan, 2 Peter 5:8, or 1 Peter 5:8, who walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? When there are times when he does that, he's right there as our escort. He is walking us through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't say, I walk you through the valley of death. It's a valley of the shadow of death. And that ravine that goes from essentially from the Mount of Olives all the way down to Jericho, by which the Roman road goes across the top, is known to shepherds as the Valley of Death. Because there are places there that a sheep can go, and if they're not watching what they're doing, they end up falling all the way down the ravine and into the valley below and dying on the rocks below. Jesus walks us through the shadow of the Valley of Death. There may be predators, there may be the worry about a rushing torrent coming at us. We may even feel like we're lost and we're just wandering around in a fog. But he's right there. And he's there to comfort us and to guide us and to take us where he wants us to go. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Why do I not have to worry because Jesus is with me? Well, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love this passage. The rod was a little piece of wood, about 18 inches long. And it was about this thick at one end, but it came out to about an inch and a half thick at the top. And then at the very top, there was a little knob about the size of a man's fist on it. It was a hammer, was what it was. And it was used as a weapon. And attached to the rod was a piece of leather, very similar to this. And it was a way for the shepherd to either hang it on his belt or to hang it on his arm and be able to carry the rod with him. But it was used for two things. And it was always used for either defense or discipline. The first thing it was used for is when a sheep started to wander a little bit away from the fold, the shepherd would take the rod and he would call the sheep first. If the sheep didn't come, he would take the rod and he would toss the rod out there, and they got to practice a lot so they were very accurate, and he would drop it right in front of the sheep. This big knobby piece of wood comes flying across, probably a pound and a half in weight, and it comes right in front of your sheep, and immediately the sheep gets scared, turns around and looks back, and the shepherd's sitting there going, get back here. Ever been in times of discipline where you felt like something had just been put in your path to absolutely stop you cold? That's a shepherd, disciplining, discipling, caring for you. The second way that the rod was used was that it was used as a means of defense. It was literally a club that could be used to defend the shepherd and the sheep against predators. And it was a very valuable tool because he had two tools of attack for the most part. The first was a rod, and with a rod he would practice with so that he could literally throw the rod from a distance and hit an animal in the head. And if he got hit in the head with that thing, he was knocked out for good. That would just pretty much end it right there. The fight was over. But if there were too many people or too many predators for the shepherd to be able to handle at one time, then he would hold the rod and he would use it as a means of defense, and he would hit with one hand. In the other hand, he had the sling, like what David had. Piece of leather, probably 18 inches long. In the middle of it had a little pouch about this big. And he would put a rock in the pouch, and he would hold both ends of the sling, and he would sit there and swing the sling around in a circle, and he would be fighting off predators with one hand and throw the sling, and with a rock he would nail an animal. And you know what it did to Goliath. If it did it to Goliath, it can do it to a bear or a lion or any other thing that comes along. You see, these are weapons of defense, and they are weapons of discipline. The shepherd's staff is very similar to what we have here. This was given to us by Chris Miller, and the shepherds of this church were given these things, and they're very similar. They're about 6 feet long, about this thick, and they were used both as a weapon, although seldom as a weapon, mostly as a means of defense. And just to try to give you an example, or as a means of discipline and care, just to give you an example of how that worked. Nick, would you come up here? Come up here, buddy. I love Nick. I like to pick on him a little bit. He's my friend. You trust me? Okay, you trust me. All right, so here's what we're going to do, Nick. You're going to start to wander away like an errant sheep, okay? You just wander that way. just like that, okay? And here's what the shepherd would do. He would wrap this thing around his neck, and he would pull him back, you see? And that's it. Wasn't that fun? Thank you. That's what a... Thank you, Nick. That's what a shepherd would do. The rod was used in two ways. It was either to go and grab the sheep and pull him back, or it was to walk, or the staff, I mean, and it was either to do that, or it was to set it down in front of the sheep and to kind of tap a little bit and to get the sheep's attention, and then he would kind of tap him on the front legs and right on his chest, and he would pull the sheep back that way. But either way, it was used as a means of discipline. Remind them, to help them to know, stay in the fold. The safety is in the fold. The safety is in my shadow. The safety is where I am. So you can go through the valley of the shadow of death and you can fear no evil because the shepherd is there and he has his rod and his staff. And he is comforting you by the very fact that he has those things and you can look up and they're in his hands and they're ready for use. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. The shepherd used to keep a pack with him, and that pack was there to bring sustenance along if they were out overnight. And in the pouch, in the leather pouch that he had, what he would do is he would pull out the food for the sheep first. Now you look at it and you say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He suddenly jumped from being a sheep to being a human. No, in fact, what he would do is he would have a leather cloth in his pouch, and he would lay out that leather cloth, and on that he would throw the seed, and the sheep would come up, or the food, and the sheep would come up and eat the food off of the leather pouch. He literally laid out a table for them, and he gave them something to eat. And then as they were eating, he would come alongside the sheep, and he would inspect their heads. And he would check them because that was the only place where they had no defense against the flies. And as he was inspecting them, he would look for sores and he would look for places where flies may have bit the sheep. And he would take their head and he would pour oil on it because it was one thing that would kind of keep the flies off. And it was a point of honor to be anointed by the shepherd, to have the oil put on your head. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The shepherd would give them more than enough to eat, more than enough to drink. He would make sure that they were right there, and he would flow over their head the anointing oil of healing. Not only that, he is our shepherd. We don't have to want for anything. He does make us lie down in green pastures, and he does lead us beside still waters, and he does restore our soul. He brings rest and comfort to our soul. He does lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for he is with us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. The wolves can be outside the fold and they could be waiting, but they always are held at bay because the shepherd is there. He anoints our head with oil and our cup runs over. Therefore, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, the whole idea of being discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ is to remind us of eternity, to begin to live with eternity in mind. The sheep didn't worry for today because they knew that the shepherd was there. If the sheep saw the shepherd, he knew he was going to be fed. He knew he was going to be given time to rest. He knew he was going to be able to drink. He knew he would be protected. He knew he would be cared for and anointed. He knew that everything would be taken care of. Therefore, a sheep could literally say, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because I got the shepherd. I've got the shepherd. A sheep can gladly follow a shepherd that cares for them. Ezekiel 34 talks about shepherds that don't care for the sheep. They're usually hirelings that don't have any vested interest in the sheep. But Jesus bought us with a price. We are his because he purchased us with his very own life. Therefore, I know I will be cared for. I know I will be comforted. I know I will be fed. I know I will be watered. I know I will get rest. I know I will be protected because the shepherd is with me. Therefore, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. However long that is, if I'm one that's going to be sacrificed on the altar or if I'm one that's going to live forever, I'm in the shepherd's house. I live with the shepherd. Amen? You need to recognize that that is the relationship that God wants for you, to be resting, enjoying, being comforted by, being protected by, being fed by, and watered by him. It's all there. And there's only one way to get that. You need to let the shepherd disciple you. You need to let the shepherd be the one that sticks closer than a brother. A lot of times we put a lot of stock in friends. Friends can lead us the wrong way. They may not mean to, but they can. And there is a need for accountability. Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And there's that there, and we need that. We need to have faithful friends who are going to walk beside us and help us along, who are going to lift us up at times. But if our friendship is more important than our walk with Jesus, if it's more important than our relationship with the shepherd, then we've missed the point of what it means to be a believer. We are to be shepherded by him. He is to be our point of rest, our point of joy, our point of strength, our point of comfort. It's not how big the church is. It's not who's here and who isn't. It's not who makes it today and who doesn't. It's not whether or not I've got enough money in the bank. It's not whether or not even I go to the cupboard and the cupboard is bare and I have no way of buying food. That's not where our sustenance comes. Our sustenance comes from Jesus. Jesus said, I have food to eat that you don't even know about. He's talking about how we live our life and how that sustains us. Young people, choices in life about the friends we keep oftentimes determine who we become. 1 Corinthians says, bad company corrupts good morals. You in a sheepfold full of rebellious sheep that don't know their shepherd? I can pretty much count on the fact that you will go the wrong way. Adults, the sheep that wanders off and thinks he's got all the answers and knows where the food is and knows where the water is and knows where the wolves are, is a sheep that's going to die soon. And most sheep are in a position where they are going to die when they think that they can stand on their own. We put all of our hope in what we have, in our families, in our houses, in our properties, in the money that we have. We even put our hope in our church. But God could take this away. In a moment, it could be gone. One good persecution could pretty much scatter most churches today. Is your sustenance in the Lord? Is your hope in the Lord? Is your trust in the Lord? Are you in a position where you can say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life because I will dwell in the house of the Lord? Not my house, not the church's house, the house of the Lord forever. He wants to disciple you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to live in such a way that he is the most important thing in your life. There's one thing that can turn me around when I'm determined to go the opposite direction, and that's something more important. Unfortunately, most of the time, what is more important isn't God. I may think it is, but it may not be. Is that the way you are? Are you determined to go in this direction and God is constantly saying, hey, back here, back here? He's even putting the crook around your neck and you're pulling it off and wandering off anyway. The shepherd is here to bring you into the fold, to protect you, to comfort you, to feed you, to guide you, to care for you. I don't know where you are today, but I know this. There are many of us in America today, in congregations all across the country, who don't live as if they live in the comfort and the care of the shepherd. They live with all the worries of life weighing them down. They live with all the stresses of day-to-day schedules holding them back from true joy. They live with all the things that pound them from day to day, and they don't take time to spend time in the presence of the shepherd and to let him lie us down in green pastures and lead us beside still waters and restore our soul so that we can have true joy and fellowship in him. He wants to be our shepherd. He wants to be our discipler. He wants everything so that we can have it all.